Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When does it come back round?
Yeah. Lots of bad news about that, mate.
When I come around. Give us a Green Day song that's not one of the obvious two. This is a warning.
But you say the obvious two. You speak to me, mean neither of those are the obvious two.
Yeah, but, American, we're all of a similar age.
Okay.
What do you mean, America? It's short. Basket case. And...
I got bed and close my eyes. Take me away to paradise. Oh, Longview.
Right. Yeah.
That's
is
a good
that about
tune.
Wanking?
Yeah, I think so. They all are.
They all are. They're silly little boys, aren't they, Andy? Warning's my favourite one of these.
What's that one?
Oh,
that's Andy. Basket case.
The one off. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Just said Andy.
Anyway, at the risk of this becoming my catchphrase, can we start the show?
No.
Let's go.
Okay. New Finn,
let me know when we can. I got arrested on the way to a Green Day gig once. No, not now.
No, we've got to start the show.
On the show. On the show.
Start the
do
show.
It on the show. I'll bring it up on the show. No,
if you're a fan of Green Day, we're starting at 2:45. And here we go. All veils and misty, everyone. Welcome to the Football Ramble. A last gasp win for the Dutch and the Scots bounce back. It's Thursday 9th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. It's a thrilling Thursday. Luke Moore, Andy Brassel, and me, Marcus Speller. Just before we started to record, Andy suddenly went, I got arrested on the way to a Green Day concert. So we'll get to the football in a minute.
Yeah. Andy, this is an absolute nightmare for a couple of days, isn't it? Because you left your iPad at the hotel as well.
Yeah, you're not having a good time. Although I assume this Green Day gig wasn't in the last few months.
No, it wasn't.
Do we have the time? Yes, we do.
Yeah. It was mistaken identity.
Of course, I was
arrested on suspicion of street robbery.
All right.
Wow. I think if you listed all the people in the Ramble universe who would on air who would get arrested, obviously Jules Top. I think then probably Pete, and then Vish probably, and then you're probably right.
Let
the
listeners decide.
Yeah, you should do actually.
No, I think you're right.
If I was going to be arrested, it would be for some corporate crime, wouldn't it?
Yeah, white collar.
Yeah,
white collar.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. So what you're saying is we should check Sean Derry's criminal record.
I mean, it was
poor old Sean. He's done nothing here.
Well, I don't know.
It was quite frustrating.
If Andy's getting done by mistaken identity, then Sean is.
I could hear the description of the suspect
being like radioed through to, like, to the police officer.
A very handsome man.
A very unsexy man.
And yet, anyway, it was clearly not me.
All right.
So anyway, after...
All right, Shaggy.
After moaning to them a bit and it being established that it wasn't me, I got a lift to the Astoria. So it all turned out okay.
There we are.
And Green Day didn't miss a beat, I'm sure.
Exactly.
But the London Astoria is no longer with us, of course.
No, it's not.
The real casualty of that story. Right, everybody, let's move on to the football after all that bollocks. Wales 1, the Netherlands 2. Oh, it was late heartbreak for Wales. They equalised, of course, in the 92nd minute, but Wout Weghorst in the 94th. Louis van Gaal, apparently he gave him... because you can't watch any of these games, of course.
Nah. Why would you want to watch them?
No.
Why would, in the current world of football we're in, why would there be games on telly?
I think really what Wout Weghorst should be doing in his particular situation is... handing out like free 7-day codes to every agent and club out there. Never has a winning goal screamed so much, come get me.
Yeah, please come get me.
It's a great header. It was a brilliant header.
It was a great header. Louis van Gaal.
He was having a moan up, wasn't he?
He gave himself a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Because he said he resisted the temptation to put Memphis Depay on and kept Weghorst on.
Right.
So one in the eye for you, Andy, because you love
Depay. 100% one in the eye for Andy.
And and one out of the eye for Louis van Gaal.
Disappointing for Wales because unquestionably that game last night was probably the biggest game in their history.
Yeah, in the last few years, you'd say. Since the Euros,
To be fair to Wales, I did actually get around to watching as much of the game as I could. I mean, it was basically
don't tell us how, but yeah.
No, I won't, but it was basically like, you know, Jennifer Connelly in the Labyrinth, just trying to get to the castle. I'm just trying to get to watch a football game.
Great reference
in 2022.
What happens if you try and sign up for Premier Sports? The David Bowie's character,
the Goblin King, comes, just steals away your laptop.
You gotta get it back. You signed up for a 1 month deal, did you? Yeah, I'm afraid. Yeah. If you'd gone for a rolling week contract, you've gone straight to the match.
Yeah, all these little set blatters pop up. Stop following you around. But anyway, I was quite impressed by Wales, given, you know, and I know this is a kind of old trope that broadcasters throw out there, but clearly there's going to be a bit of inertia after what happened in the previous game. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
and leaving everyone on the bench.
They've made a lot of changes. Yes, the commentator uttered the famous phrase after the Lord Mayor's show about 50 times, but they stuck in there. Of course, it didn't quite work out for them. That was a real kind of elevated high followed by like a basement low, partly due to their own making. But, I mean, they're not going to give a shit. Let's be honest, they're not going to give a shit about this.
No, I don't think
so. But it was good for them to fight back and try and get something out of it.
It is, and it's a shame for them, obviously, because getting a 92nd minute equaliser.
Which was another good header, by the way. It rose like a salmon.
Norrington
Davies. Yeah, it was magnificent.
Great header. But, I mean, Andy, this is the point of the Nations League, is for teams to play better or equally matched teams. And for Wales, of course, being promoted to the top tier, it's... a good test. And I know, obviously, yes, they've got the World Cup and they probably came from Gareth Bale's bar straight to the match. You know, they've been there for days. But looking at the bigger picture, of course, when they go to Qatar, they will have ambitions to play, you know, to qualify from the group. They'll look at the group and think Iran, USA and England. Well, they'll think, well, I tell you what, lads, we've got a chance of going through.
Yeah, they will, sure.
They absolutely will. But if you're going to go to the knockouts and so on, you are going to play against equally or better sides. That goes for everybody because I don't think there is a standout team. Mm-hmm. Do you mean?
No, there's not.
So this is kind of it's a good test.
Yeah, it is, and it's good for all the squad to be tested as well. I mean, you talked about it earlier in the week, and you're absolutely right, Marcus. Like the World Cup has screwed the Nations League because in terms of it being a competition that people take seriously in terms of winning it, it has been completely shafted by the chronology, by the timetable, but. On the other hand, what we're seeing is teams doing their run up to the to the World Cup. Of course, it's by far the least important thing about the many issues surrounding the World Cup. We must underline that must not stop underlining that. But in terms of what's happening at the moment, you look at the amount of changes last night. It's just inevitable in all the games, this game.
He made seven changes from the side that faced Ukraine, of course, which is understandable. I mean, it is Wales' first home defeat since the end of 2018.
They're very, very good at home.
Impressive run.
And when you think that Rob Page is still officially caretaker,
he's done amazing there.
It must be the longest caretaker spell that
anyone has
ever had him.
Is Giggsy coming back?
There's a reason why he's caretaker, Marcus, that you've alluded to there. Indeed. Not alluded to, actually, probably just smashed through the greenhouse. Smashed through the conversational greenhouse and just stood around in your pants going, what?
Yeah.
One thing Rob Page would be unhappy with, though, I think, is the manner of the second goal.
Yeah.
the time on the clock, the way eventually it was the goal, the build up. You got to bring him down. You got to they had two jobs to do. They got to foul. Forget which player it was.
De Jong from midfield brought the ball forward.
You got to foul him, and you've got to defend the set piece, and then you're done. You're home with the draw, and you're home the host.
Which is a good result, of course, especially when you're 1-0 down.
Really disappointing.
Bale said that, didn't he? He said maybe we need to learn the dark arts of taking him down.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it did underline what we're saying about De Jong and how he's got this reputation from his Ajax heyday as a sort of deeper midfielder, but can actually progress the ball pretty well. Because playing in, we were saying on OTC last week, playing in a couple of not great Barcelona teams has actually made him develop his game more, which could be good news for Manchester United. Well,
nothing is good news for Manchester United. I mean, I'll tell you that.
Theoretically, it's good news for Manchester United until he falls into the Old Trafford talent vortex.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's good news for
the Aaron Wan-Bissaka zone, as we call it.
Absolutely right. I mean, yeah, I was going to say good news for Manchester United, bad news for whoever goes there. But De Jong, it's an interesting one with De Jong because I remember the first time that I'd seen him really kind of dominate a game when England played Netherlands in the UEFA Nations League in the semi-final.
In Gimmeridge,
yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, we knew this lad. I mean, he's obviously an excellent player. And you said he's obviously developed parts of his game because of he's been a poor Barcelona side. He's, what is he, 25 now?
Yeah.
Is De Jong. I thought, bloody hell, to me, he was still like 21 or something. Yeah. You know, what do you think then? Because here he is being linked with Manchester United, which, you know, is not as flattering as it used to be.
If it were me, I'd be on the phone to my agent saying, I don't even want the link. It's disrespectful to have the link. And that tells you how far United are falling.
You're right, exactly. But you
I'd rather be linked with Arsenal.
Exactly. But he goes to Barcelona at a much better time, of course. But it doesn't quite work out like that. I was thinking, as I'm sure a lot of people thought, this lad is going to be sort of a Xavi or something like that, like dominate football, be one of those talks about. He's not quite in that bracket, is he?
No, because
do you think he still can be?
But well, he's been asked to play so many different roles. And like I said, I actually think that helps him because he basically has learnt to, we knew he could sit in front of the back four, we knew he could do the six, but now he's almost played at number 10 at some points for Barcelona. You know, he's been so far forward. He's bombed into the box and scored goals. There are so many different elements to his game. So it's kind of, he would have been the perfect Barcelona player in one of the great Barcelona teams.
Right, okay.
But it's not been that. So he's had to learn to do loads of different things. And I think that makes him easier to adapt for him when he arrives somewhere else, presumably the Premier League, because no one else has got the money that Barcelona are asking for.
How come Pep's not gone for him then?
I don't think they need him. Look at their midfield.
Well, he has been valued at 112 million. So, you know, he's obviously, his talent hasn't waned in terms of.
Yeah, not even Barcelona are asking that for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're home bargains these days.
Indeed. Well, we shall see if he can propel the Dutch at the World Cup, because they're an interesting side. You know, obviously at the Euros, they produced some good moments and then they were, I suppose, I found out might be a bit harsh, but their shortcomings.
No,
became,
I don't think that's harsh at all.
Okay.
You know, they're still. I mean, the Ronald Koeman thing. I mean, basically, it's all Barcelona's fault. Is what this section is about.
Yeah.
Is what any section on football is about, I suppose. I think you look at the moment that he left. The fact that the Euros got pushed back a year, and he was ill, obviously, and you know he had this opportunity to get Barcelona the job that he'd always wanted. The whole Frank de Boer thing has just like splayed them off course, and I think Louis van Gaal coming back and taking over, he's actually done an incredible job. I know, like, people like to talk about his personality, and particularly on here, we like to talk about his personality and his way of expressing himself. But I think picking them up from where they were left under De Boer, and the fact that, you know, there was this huge like internal debate about in Holland about what Dutch football should be about, and you know, we shouldn't be playing this kind of football. It's always a philosophical debate there. Van Gaal, to get them back in a reasonable position and get them back on course, he's done a really good job.
Well, when he was asked about the amount of football that they've got to play over the summer in the UEFA Nations League, Van Gaal said, an organisation called UEFA is letting us play 4 games in 11 days.
Yeah, try watching them.
Yeah.
Try.
We've got to take him at his word, haven't we?
I would do a 2-week Louis van Gaal training camp and still put in less effort than it took me to find the fucking Netherlands game last night. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, dear. Well, by the way, speaking of big transfers and Spanish clubs and all the rest of it, what do you think of Getafe's president saying yesterday that Gareth Bale's agent has offered him over to the club? And he did it over the phone as well.
I like the fact that essentially the thinking behind that seems to have been getting up Google Maps and finding out which is the closest club to his house. It's like, all right. When I was on Talksport, Jonathan Barnett used to ring it all the time. Yeah, He's friends with Jim White. And used to say outrageous stuff about Gareth Bale all the time. It's crazy. So I'm not surprised to hear it.
It's funny because he said that he didn't even have the number of Angel Torres, the Getafe president, didn't he?
Right.
And it made me think of, like, maybe Bale's going there anyway and he's just cutting him out. Maybe it's time, that like that time that the Verve split up. And then they told the guitarist they were splitting up, and then all the rest of them, apart from the guitarist, got back
together.
Could
do that.
Naughty.
He's gonna be captain of Wales, whatever happens. He's better off just going to perhaps even like a Cardiff or something like that if he doesn't.
I honestly thought you were gonna say something like fitness retreat or something or whatever. Just keep the fitness up, and then
I'm sure that
yoga in Morocco.
That's another term for Cardiff, no? Fitness retreat.
Maybe.
Did you see Getafe's tweet?
Well, yes, I did.
Very cheeky. I enjoyed that.
But Getafe in that order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, of course, Wales play Belgium on Saturday, who beat Poland 6-1.
Some amazing goals in that game, by the way.
There really was.
See Leandro Trossard's goal?
Oh, beauty.
So good. Good to see him in there.
The commentator did suggest, like, asked, did he mean it? Because I suppose Way hit it, but I thought, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
That was Lorenzo Insigne, but with a little bit more swaz.
Did old, a lot of swaz.
Did old Ben Donks mean him? Mean his
one? That was a great hit as well.
Yeah.
And you see, you know when you watch the game and say you just watch the highlights and then they put up the team at the start?
Yes.
Mm. And you look at Belgium and you go, oh, the old razzle dazzlers. Yeah. It's great to see.
Yeah, you see.
Even though a lot of them aren't even that old.
Yeah, I know.
And then you see Trossard in him and you think, that's great. It's great to see him.
Oh, I saw the team lineup and I thought, oh, outside bet.
Yeah.
Little cheeky one.
I think the thing is, you see the team lineup and you're like, Michy Batshuayi still belongs to Chelsea.
Yeah,
crazy.
I think any side with Kevin De Bruyne has always got half a chance.
A little word to you and to all our listeners.
Yes.
Just from me, just a little bit of insight from me.
Go on,
you get it for free.
Yep.
I think it's worth thinking about Belgium as being dark horses for this World Cup.
Shut up. I think what you think their potential is going to... Anyway.
Gold generation, I've heard.
Well, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Scotland beat Armenia 2-0. Back on the wagon.
Yeah.
Back on the wagon.
Can I just jump in straight away?
Yeah.
Excuse me. And so for Anthony, I think it was for Anthony Ralston's goal. I think it was his first goal for Scotland. It was a header at the back post, that goal. Did you see the Armenian keeper?
Yeah, he didn't do
that. He was standing in the net.
Mm.
The ball come over and he's following the ball, completely lost where he is. And when the header comes in, even if he could have saved it, it would have still been a goal because he was standing in the goal net like a fucking tuna.
He was like a suicidal fish, Andy.
Like, tuna, you know whose fault that is? Jordan Pickford.
His nickname should be the tuna.
It's the fault of Jordan Pickford.
Marcus is for that, when you said that.
For that save of the season against
from inside
Chelsea,
the goal.
Where he runs behind the back of the net. I've spoken to a few goalkeepers about that and they're all apoplectic.
Well, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't even be in that position.
It's like so contrary to goalkeeping technique.
And I would say to them, no, I hear you, but he saved it, didn't he? So shut your face.
Exactly. Move on.
Exactly.
Next.
You know, I always think football is lacking goalkeeping analysis. I take it all back, Marcus.
Well, I don't know. Let's take the chat to South America and see what some of their goalkeepers would say, Andy.
Yeah.
All Eurocentric brassle over there.
Is he goalkeeper for Peru or is it Uruguay?
I had naughty.
Little callback there.
Yeah, I think that was edited out.
Shame.
But anyway, McKenna scored the second one, of course. I mean, look, Scotland obviously be disappointed about what happened, of course, against Ukraine in the playoffs.
The atmosphere seemed really flat in Hampden Park last night.
I think that's going to happen because of what happened in the World Cup.
Yeah, totally.
When you've got a real chance to make it to a World Cup for the first time in a while, even if it's not, even if it was, you've been there the previous one, it's disappointing when you don't qualify for a World Cup in such a manner. You know?
Yeah, and I think the reaction after the game against Ukraine was interesting, not in the immediate aftermath, but when you got to a day or two afterwards, and you listen to Scotland fans and media that cover Scotland regularly, and after the very important story around Ukraine as has been talked about, and Scotland are analysed a little bit more. It was such a disappointing performance from them. And, you know, I think there was like palpable disappointment
among, I get that.
Amongst Scotland followers, especially after how far they've come in the last year or two.
Which is why I think, even though it is only the UEFA Nations League, I think that's good to get an immediate pick-me-up. Because you don't want to lose another one. And then suddenly there's a little bit of a dark cloud on.
And the reason I would say, I would agree with your point, Marcus, about being a bit knee-jerky about Steve Clarke, is if you look at their qualifying group for the World Cup... Mm. They actually did pretty well.
Well, that's right. And I think that's where they are. I think they are the side who try and get through the playoffs.
To come second in that group, finishing above Austria, and not too far off Denmark, and beating Denmark as well,
Denmark, I think were already qualified at the time. But still, it's a good result.
It's a good win, yeah.
Denmark are having a brilliant time at the moment. You know, we spoke about them the other day. So I think that's where Scotland are. Scotland will inevitably, when they go to a qualifying group, they will inevitably go in for that second place. That's where
they are. And they're off to Dublin this weekend, and that's a win. That is a win.
Well, I tell you,
because Ireland cannot buy a win in the Nations League. I don't think they've won a single game, have they?
I would frame their result as they only lost 1-0.
Yeah.
To Ukraine.
Ukraine actually played okay.
Yeah.
They were decent enough.
And it was, again, talking of sides busy on bouncing back and getting important results, you know, you could say that with Ukraine as well.
A very second stringy Ukraine.
Yes. Yeah, indeed. By the way, before we move on to Scotland, something I just wanted to point out. The Armenia players thought that McKenna had... Had made it 3-0 in injury time in the first half when the referee didn't initially signal for offside from a header. And their left back was so angry about this that he picked up a bottle from behind the goal and launched it towards the linesman. And the linesman didn't notice this and was already running back to the halfway line, and VAR didn't check it.
Yeah,
I was like,
what are you saying? That it should happen more often?
Yes. If you can get away with it. No, I think I'm just a bit
he's got to be punished for that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he has to.
That is very naughty. Talking of discipline, how about this, chaps? Serbia pipped Ukraine for qualification to the under-19 Euros this week based on their disciplinary record.
Oh, it counted back all the way to that?
Yeah, they were level on points, goals and head-to-head records, but they had 10 yellow cards to Ukraine's 13.
Serbia qualifying, good behaviour. There's a headline. Ukraine must have been like, oh, Serbia, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Gutting.
Gutting. Well, yeah, you've got to separate sides somehow.
Yeah.
More on that later when we go to South Africa. But with regards to Ireland, last word for them before we go for a break. Yeah, 10 competitive home games without a win, stretching back to June 2019. Yeah, I mean, it's looking bleak. And old Kenny, when he came in there, he was trying to do something a little bit different and so on. I wonder how long it is till they get to the point where they think, you know, it's just not working. And then what do you do? Because they got him in to try, like, we've been trying to do this for a while.
Yep.
Let's have a go at this. And when you kind of run out of ideas, that's not a great place to be.
And if you look at...
And you need then a big character to come in and try and galvanise.
And I do think that actually one of the key things to do as a manager or a coaching team of a nation the size of, say, Ireland, is if you look back through the success they've had, however you want to term it as success... it's because they've been able to be galvanised by a charismatic coach, I think. And if you look down their squad at the moment, yeah, fine, you've got one or two players there who aren't playing at the very highest level, but you've got quite a lot who are.
Yeah.
And so it's probably not... The quality in their squad is not commensurate to the results they've had. But having said that, you know, for a wonder save from the goalkeeper off that Shane Duffy header last night, and it's 1-0, it's a different conversation.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
So it's fine margins.
Indeed it is. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
You know, when we come to these places, you know, we are allowed to actually fight. We are allowed to actually try and win. That's all it was.
Not usually the managers, though.
No. We just a couple of things. I said nothing, absolutely nothing that should be out of the normal. It's just two managers fighting for their teams, wanting to win a game. There's nothing wrong with that.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's now time for emails. You know, if you got an email to show at footballramble.com. Sat still through that.
Yeah, Andy, I was going to say.
No, what it is, Marcus, is the face you make during the Sven bits.
Andy, what I would say is this. You can sit there rolling your eyes and folding your arms all you like, but that's the music you're going to be listening to while you're waiting to get your laptop back at that hotel. Because that's what they play in the lobby, pal. So get used to it. Anyway, Raoul's been in touch.
They don't play that at the Holiday Inn.
They play Hotel, Motel, Holiday Inn. Yeah. Anyway, Raoul's been in touch. This is Raoul's moment, not ours. Yeah, so yeah. We must hand the baton of conversation over to Raoul, who says, hi guys, as a long-time listener, I was taken aback by the recent criticism of the quality of emails you've been receiving, so I'm throwing my hat into the ring.
Ooh.
Being an American, it often takes me a bit of time and research to understand some of your Britishisms, but none has caught my attention as much as Marcus's, and this is Raoul's words, not mine, Marcus's ejaculations of, quote, Gordon Bennett.
Well, I nearly said it there.
Yeah. Give him one, so...
Gordon Bennett, right?
Yeah. Imagine my surprise to discover there was really a Gordon Bennett in real life, but more importantly, there is a trophy named after him, and what a trophy it is. And it is a very interesting looking trophy. It's like a cherub holding a kind of biplane, old-fashioned biplane on the
mountain. It's an absolute beauty, actually. That
very good.
I think it'd be a good Confederations Cup.
It would be, actually. Imagine that.
Yeah. I'll tell you something.
If that was a Nations League trophy, everyone would be into it.
If you ever go like for a club tour, or like a massive club, I'm thinking like Real Madrid, for example, of tour of the Bernabeu, you see all the trophies in the Champions League, blah, blah, blah. But then you see like some of the odder ones of like regional tournaments and stuff. Some of them are fantastic, like a big old sort of silver ship and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, something that's as tall as a player.
Like the Stanley Cup. Like the Stanley Cup.
Oh, man.
I mean, anyway, they do love a trophy in there. I mean, they actually claimed Michael Owen's Ballon d'Or as... their own, didn't
definite.
They?
Blimey.
Definite. Blimey.
Back to Raoul, though.
Well, I mean, I don't want Michael Owen having it, so it's fine for him to have it. Anyway, Raoul. Raoul picks up the story and says, this trophy was awarded to the winner of an annual aeroplane race, and it currently resides in the Aero Club de France in Paris. And this got me thinking, with the profusion of Ramble games, it seems obvious that a trophy should be given to the Rambler who wins the most games in a calendar year. And I nominate Andy to be in charge of the admin. Well, that's your first mistake, Raoul. Yeah. He left his laptop at a hotel today. So my modest proposal is that the winner of the most games...
I get to keep the trophy. I don't give a shit.
It'll never leave his house.
Rather have a trophy than a laptop.
He says, Raoul finishes by saying his proposal is that the winner of the most games be awarded the Gordon Bennett Trophy.
Yeah.
But in order for this to happen, it needs to be acquired. You know where this is going. The entire Ramble crew cooks up and executes an Ocean's 11-style heist, nicks the trophy, and each year it takes the place of honour on someone's, again, probably Andy's mantelpiece. I leave it to you to argue over who gets to be Brad Pitt in this scenario. I would happily send Andy and Pete over to Paris to get that trophy and steal it. Mm-hmm. You could be the kind of decoy by being like, I'm a serious journalist and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And Pete could just nip in there with a pair of gloves on. Like a little acrobat guy in Ocean's 11 who hides in the trolleys.
Oh, yeah.
Pete would be a disastrous version of that guy. Like, he'd do his back in and, you know.
The trolley he would be in the trolley, but the trolley would be inside and the door would be shut and he wouldn't be able to get out.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Am I George Clooney in all this, or is Andy because he's greyer?
I think you know. No comment. Any of my friends at any point says, am I George Clooney in all this? I'm not going to comment.
Oh, dearie me. Sharpfootramble.com.
Oh,
there we go. Right, everybody. Let's talk about some transfer business. Alex Lacazette has officially rejoined Leon, Andy. Woo.
Near, far, wherever you are. That's Andy this morning.
Yeah.
The big man's back.
You know what? I was so distracted by his press conference because it was quite an early press conference.
Yeah.
That's what made me leave my stuff in the hotel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you Winslet and is he DiCaprio?
That's wrong.
Or are you the guy that Winslet was set up with?
Oh, what? Billy Zane?
You're Billy Zane.
Billy Zane, yeah. No, little
Phantom.
Slug.
Not
little
Phantom.
Slug of a man.
Not Phantom.
Yeah, because he's like Billy Zane and Lacazette's Winslet, but Winslet don't want him.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. Yeah.
Right, you fuckers.
Either way, you're all drowning. They don't drown, do they? Kate Winslet and Billy Zane don't drown.
Outrageous.
Don't drown.
What you'll find, I think, from the chat during the press conference, I mean, it's something we flagged on OTC last week. Lacazette and Tolisso.
You're not on OTC now, Pat.
Coming back to Leon. It's Thursday. What are you
talking about? That's true, actually. He's coming up again. Yeah.
It's funny. In the press conference, Lacazette said he was pushing to get Tolisso to come back because, of course, he's a free agent as well. So I would say that Lacazette is DiCaprio, Tolisso is Winslet.
Okay, right.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's a beautiful love story.
I think so.
What's the food? Is the food thing still good in Lyon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great.
That's been for 400 years.
I was about to say.
Well, I'm just saying that these things ebb and flow. They do ebb and flow.
Well, it is constantly brought to my attention that they've won nothing since I left.
Okay, right. There
so
we go. It could be.
You know, they could all be eating kebabs right now, couldn't they?
It could be.
Mind you, the city has seen Wales play in a semi-final there, Andy.
Yeah, we were there.
Great news for Arsenal fans, by the way, that Alexander Lacazette will almost certainly, one of our producers, Rory, who's an Arsenal fan, he was just sat at the end of the table in the meeting earlier going, I know he's going to score loads of goals. I just know as soon as he goes, he's going to score loads of goals and they're going to have amazing success. And
they'll win the Europa League.
Yeah, at some point, Arsenal are going to be there ninth in the Premier League with no striker.
Yeah. They'll beat Arsenal in the Conference League.
Yeah, but
like
that's basically it, right?
That's what's going to happen there.
But it's a good, I mean, he loves Leon, right? So he had to be convinced quite heavily to actually move from there in the first place, right?
Yeah, they've been working on him for a little bit. I mean, he's playing for half the money that he played at Arsenal.
Yeah, so that's the Premier League for you.
It's a choice of the heart. But they're about to be taken over, actually, by American ownership.
Mm. Cool, interesting.
George Gillette's son.
Oh, really?
Taylor.
Wow.
Is about to become majority shareholder there.
My goodness, eh? Mm. Blimey, all right.
I was really trying to get a joke in about the heart of the ocean, that big stone in the Titanic, when
really?
You said his heart's in Leon.
Oh, you see, I was thinking about Gillette and saying, you know, apparently there was a bidding war, it was a close shave or something.
Well, Leon's the best Alex can get.
Yeah, well, there you are, you see.
They should be paying for that presence on here.
I know.
Don't give them any more.
Sorry,
I think Gillette raises a shit.
Yeah.
There you go, balanced.
But we like Harry's because they at least give us money.
They have done.
There
the
we
past,
are. Yeah. And we're open to more of that, Harry.
But it's not a man called Harry who's just giving you the money.
That's how I got mine. Bayern Munich have had a second offer for Sadio Mane rejected.
And that was super generous the second time, weren't they?
Yeah, they bid £30 million. Mm. £1 million for every year.
Can I just say, those add-ons are amazing. Mm. It's like an absolute piss-take of add-ons,
right? So go on then.
Well, I'm just very passionate about it, as you can tell. For those listening who don't know this, the total deal that Bayern Munich offered Liverpool for Sadio Mane, who's of course going into the last year of his contract.
And he's 30.
And he's 30 years old. It was £30 million. Mm. But when you break it down, it's actually, I think, £23.5 million. And the £6.5 million add-ons are only payable if they win three Champions Leagues and Sadio Mane wins three Ballon d'Ors. Yeah. He's already 30.
I mean, it's just like,
I'd rather not have the add-ons.
Yeah.
It's an insult.
It is an insult. I mean, look, there's a real chance that they could win the Champions League. Three times. I'll even stretch it. There's a slight chance he might win a Ballon d'Or. Three of the buggers? No way.
Some say... Yeah. Hasan Salihamidžić doesn't know what he's doing.
or some say he does, and he's hoping that
he knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah,
and that they don't read the small print. Yeah, 30 million add-on. Yeah, farm. I'm sure that'll happen. He's a good player, a good team.
Unreal.
Good luck to you. Do you think he'll go?
I think he's... Andy, sorry, are you asking me or Andy?
Well, I'll put it to the floor.
I was going
to
give you Andy's opinion.
Yeah, go on.
You got both, best Dude, of both
please.
Of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do it in a funny voice.
Because Andy's... people say we sound like anyway, so there's not much I can do. Yeah. Whatever people say we sound like, I always say, well, if it sounds like they're talking about it, it's normally
there
Andy.
There we go.
if it's devastatingly funny, it's normally Andy. What I was going to say was that you guys talked really interestingly, I thought, a few weeks ago about on OTC about this phenomenon of players winding down their contracts, which almost apes what they've been doing for some time now in like American sports, right?
Yes.
And it gives the player a lot of flexibility, a lot of options, and obviously a chance to earn a lot more money because there's no transfer fee involved. They can try and almost like parlay that into their own wages, right? And if you're Mane and if you're Salah, yeah, with apologies to Liverpool fans, you can understand why they'd want to do something like that. And I think the way modern football is, I don't think you'd get anything less out of Mane or Salah if they're in that situation.
I think that's absolutely right, Luke, because I think if you look at... I don't think
of course you do. It's your opinion.
I don't think this particularly pertains to Mane, because I think he will go this summer, despite Bayern making a massive bollocks of this so far, just as they've made a massive bollocks of the Lewandowski situation. I think when... I've heard people talk about Lewandowski. It has to be now or never. It's like, why?
Can they not get Lewandowski? Can they not get Mane if they don't get rid of Lewandowski then?
No. I don't think the two things are related.
Oh, right.
I just think when you look at Lewandowski, the idea that it's going to be ruinous to him if he can't go this year, I don't buy that at all.
Right.
I mean, he's still improving. Mm. His age is almost like an abstract concept. And I feel the same thing with Salah and Mane. I mean, it's interesting. I wonder how things will change in terms of, you know, Liverpool thinking and clubs in general thinking, how many years can we offer a player that's over 30? I think because players are lasting longer, players are keeping themselves in better nick to a later stage. And in many cases, for forward players, improving in their 30s, yeah, not just maintaining their condition. I don't think clubs can use that thing of, he's 30, we're not going to give him the bag anymore.
Yeah. Well, chaps, staying with Liverpool, they're reportedly prepared to smash their transfer record with a bid for Darwin Nunes, which some are saying could be Mane's replacement. Would you, briefly, Andy, do you think he would cut the mustard?
I think he would be great in the Premier League. Mm. I just wonder if there's a little bit of Fernando Torres about him. And I've wondered that for a while. Well, both. Because I think he would arrive here and be brilliant straight away. He's bustling, he's strong, he can run the channels, his hold-up play's improved, scored a lot of goals, obviously, gone along at more than a goal a game last season, and scored goals in the Champions League. But what he does is such a high-impact style. I wonder if the Premier League is equally a blessing and a curse for him. Mm-hmm. And Fernando Torres, like, quite self-consciously talked about that, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He said, the Premier League has made me as good as I am, but my body can't stand it. And I kind of wonder that about Nunez. I don't see him like coming over here and like being able to play in the Premier League for 10 years. The way he plays is so taxing. I think it would be tough for him.
Well, he would dazzle us certainly, because Klopp said of him, an extremely good looking boy, huh? And a decent player as well. Benfica value him at 100 million euros. And Manchester United are reportedly interested. And so are Fulham.
Yeah.
And Portsmouth.
Listen, you've gone too far there. Portsmouth are only interested in signing exclusively players they used to have when they're in League Two on loan. That's
there
it.
We are. You've got to start somewhere, haven't you?
Yeah.
Elsewhere. Let's go to Everton. James Tarkowski is verbally
agreed. James Tarkowski.
Yes.
To his family.
He's verbally agreed terms with Everton.
Yeah.
He's one of a lot of Burnley players who, of course, out of contract at the end of the month.
Can I play? This is what he said to his agent. Can I please play back in the Premier League without moving house? And the agent went, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, again, Google
Can
Maps.
I still play in the Premier League and have a horrible commute to go with it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Burnley, Vincent Kompany could be announced as their manager next week. Who's going to be his assistant? Craig Bellamy.
We've got to be endorsing that, surely.
I mean, if Sean Dyche is talking about fighting other managers...
Did you see that video?
Vincent Kompany's clearly got his little attack dog there.
Definitely.
I would love to see the return of
the angry assistant manager.
But he doesn't need him. Did you not see that video that did the rounds? It was knocking about maybe a few weeks ago, because he's just finished managing Anderlecht, right?
Yeah.
And it was a post-match video of him in the dressing room dressing down the players because they had a poor result.
I don't
remember what the result was, but it was frightening.
Yeah.
And I've interviewed Vincent Kompany, yes, and he is frightening.
Oh, right? He doesn't need Bellingham, but I think but also, like, does he, the sort of silly scraps, he didn't want to be getting involved in that. Save him for the big, like, the big battles. You know what I mean? So get Bellamy.
He's like his Richard Hammond.
Yeah.
Like his Richard Hammond.
A violent Richard Hammond.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there we are.
I think we should be endorsing of all of that kind of behaviour. I think Kompany and Bellamy in the Championship is an amazing thing.
Oh, totally.
What a combo.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting because a few, like, decent Bundesliga clubs have asked about Vincent Kompany.
Right.
And yeah, he's going to
Burnley. Probably still got a nice house around there as well, has he?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably wants to stay there.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably thinks if I do the business here, get Burnley promoted again.
But that's easier said than done, surely.
Well, I know it is. I've supported a team who've been in the Championship for a long, long time. And not at the moment, but they have been. I know exactly how hard it is, but I'm not sure Vincent Kompany does. And maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he thinks it's great. England's the place to be.
I just wonder how you make yourself look good in that job. I mean, maybe he's been told something. Maybe the financial projections at Burnley are not quite as bleak as have been feared. Because I just wonder why you would go into that job knowing how difficult it's going to be.
Andy,
like, if he doesn't get promoted, it doesn't look good.
Okay, let me say this. So we've talked a bit about fighting there. We've projected that on them just because we know what Bellamy's like. When I tell you that Carlo Ancelotti has apparently been phoning Blackburn Rovers to tell them to consider his former assistant Duncan Ferguson for their managerial vacancy.
Who's reported that?
People.
I don't think that's happened.
Right. Well, do you want Duncan Ferguson to be managing in the Championship and come up against Vincent Kompany and Craig Bellamy?
I see what you're doing. Right. Yes, I do. Sorry about what I said earlier.
I also want Duncan Ferguson to be making the phone call to convince someone to do something rather than Carlo Ancelotti.
Duncan Ferguson's messages of praise are the most terrifying thing you can imagine.
Exactly.
So imagine, I mean, it's crazy.
That's my house, eh? You're going to come and have a go at Bellamy, like everybody else? See what happens, eh? What do you think of that, eh? Do you better get their fucking results.
Do you think, that frightened me a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you reckon Duncan gets a bad rap on this show? Do you reckon he's actually got more to him than that? Because he's been hanging around at the top level for a long time.
I think we've been fair to Duncan Ferguson.
Would you be happy to repeat that if Duncan was here?
I wouldn't be here if he was here. I think he is the most terrifying man in football.
The reason I'm saying it's not happened is because Carlo Ancelotti's just won the Champions League with Real Madrid. Think of the scenario. He's on holiday at the moment.
Got a cigar on,
yeah. Think of the scenario.
Someone calls for you at the bar.
Can you call Blackburn Rovers for me and just big up Duncan Ferguson? It's just quite an abstract request.
Ancelotti strikes me as the type of man who doesn't have a mobile phone because he just doesn't care.
Unless Duncan said to him, and they're pals because they've worked together before, you know, do me a favour here.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe. Do you think he's threatened Ancelotti?
Nah, you wouldn't.
We think even Carlo is scared of.
I think Carlo is on a very, very fancy beach somewhere and he's having a pina colada, and
which is the fucking absolute emperor of cocktails, by the way.
So there he is, right? And somebody is maybe a Blackburn Rovers fan and has bumped into him and said, "All right, chat." And he said, "Oh, we need a new manager." And he said, "Do you know what? There's a phone at the bar. Yeah. Let me phone a couple of people.
I'm in Spain. I don't want Duncan anywhere near me. Get him to be Blackburn."
Exactly. Yeah. Even slightly further away, probably geographically.
Yeah.
Oh, there we are. Right, everybody. All of that chat on the podcast there you've just heard was just preamp before we get to this. We go to Africa. Now, do you remember back in 2013, a match-fixing scandal in Nigeria? One of the last day of the season, two scorelines read 79-0 and 67-0.
Is that Police Machine?
Police Machine.
When we were calling out for highlights from our 15-year anniversary.
That's in there.
That got a lot of responses.
As it should do. So, yes.
79-0.
So we...
It's a North London derby next year.
So we go further south in Africa to South Africa.
Yeah.
Conveniently named.
Marcus. Andy switched off.
Yeah.
There's nothing in this for him, is there?
Checking his text.
Sorry, you sent this one out.
Four clubs have been banned for life from the fourth tier of South African football.
Whose life, by the way?
Because
they're clubs.
Yeah, that's a good point, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did you negotiate the youngest living one?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an excellent.
Right, we just need to knock him off and then we'll be back again.
Yeah, you can't be banned for like, banned forever.
Yeah, it must be.
Chucked out, see you later, bye.
Club must be folded.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is after some questionable activity.
Questionable. Questionable implies that there might be an explanation that we just haven't thought of.
Well, hang on. Some people don't know the nuts and bolts of this story. Yeah. Matayasi FC played Shivulani Dangerous Tigers. Sorry, they didn't play it. They were battling it out for the title this season.
But can I just say, sorry to cut in again, yeah. ten bullet points this story on the run and order. Yeah. It's more than all the other run and order put together.
Anyway, it's a £100 million player. Liverpool might sign. But anyway.
Yeah, whatever. Trap yourself in.
Dangerous Tigers were ahead on goal difference, plus 16.
Yeah.
Right, that's decent.
Yeah.
You've got to go some to overturn that.
Comfy.
Right? Yeah. Extremely comfy.
Good night's sleep the night before.
I've been big time.
Yeah.
On the penultimate day of the season, third in the league, Nsami Mighty Birds played Dangerous Tigers. And they claimed the referee for their game was associated with Dangerous Tigers.
Yeah.
The coach said, we scored four goals, but all of them were disallowed by the referee. And they hit the side netting, and the referee said it was a goal.
It's good to see Mike Dean back in work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's Clattenburg doing these days?
Yeah.
When we reported the matter to the South African Football Association, we were told that the referee's decision is final.
Yeah.
Then we go to the final day of the season.
Yeah.
And this is where suspicions are aroused. Yeah.
That's very much the bit of action before the opening credits, isn't it? If you watched it as a TV show, then the credits would come in.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Some will say, do I need to see that little sequence before the game?
Definitely, you do.
Well, yeah, but I think if you just watch the last day of the season, it should.
Now on to the questionable bit.
The Dangerous Tigers, they played Kotoyoko Happy Boys, and they beat them 33-1. One.
Yeah, enjoy. They'll never suspect a thing.
Well, they've learned from police machine, haven't they?
Let them go goal up.
79-0, it's too obvious. 33-1. How was the one? Like, what, was that a set play?
Get the ball.
Penalty?
Get the ball. Yeah. Take the kick off. There's still 20 minutes left.
Indeed. But Matayasi, the other team in the title race, they improved on this because they needed to.
Yeah.
59-1. 59-1. Against who? Mighty Birds,
yeah,
the burned birds. Nsami?
How many own goals were there, Mark?
Apparently, there were 41 own goals scored in the match.
Again, questionable.
Possibly a record, Andy.
Yeah.
See, until you get to the own goals bit, I'm thinking, is there an explanation?
Lasagna, perhaps one of those like dodgy lasagna, like happened to Spurs.
It could be. Well, it's thought that they conspired against the Dangerous Tigers after the refereeing the week before. It's thought. I can't. Well,
I've got food poisoning. Oh, what's the main symptoms? Scoring loads of own goals.
Apparently, both teams had met in March, where it had been 2-1 Matayasi against Mighty Birds and a 2-2 draw between Dangerous Tigers and the Happy Boys.
Yeah.
So just to say that, you know, that it's an outstanding result, no matter how you look at it, everybody. Fourth place, Gwala Classic, have been handed the title, with the three teams above them all banned. Happy Boys and Mighty Birds are expected to face further sanctions too, because some of the Happy Boys players left the pitch during their 33-1 win, taking them down to seven men.
Well, 33-1 defeat, that would have been.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You'd be one of the four. Like, get out of here, lads. Yeah. Apparently, in the other game, a referee sent off four players so they could go down.
Like a Jose Mourinho handshake before the final
exactly,
whistle.
Exactly, yeah. Well, on the 59-1 defeat, the Mighty Birds coach said the players' minds were not on the game because even if they'd won, they knew it wasn't going to help them in any way. I tried as a coach to push them, but it was difficult. There was nothing I could do. Sacked in the morning, sunshine. If you cannot inspire your side to not lose 59-1.
Yeah.
Then there's something wrong. There is absolutely something wrong. I should say, though, actually, when I said it's surely a record, well, actually, doing a bit of digging around, there was an occasion, the most outstanding result from African football came in Madagascar in 2002, when AS Adema beat their arch-rivals Stade Olympique 149-0.
And the numbers here, sorry to cut in.
149.
The numbers are staggering.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the average amount of time the ball's in play, it's about 55 minutes.
I know.
That's a goal every 36 seconds.
It's incredible. That's some achievement.
You know, actually, when you were saying about taking the ball out of the net and running back, yeah. You don't normally associate that with a winning side,
no.
Do you?
Well, apparently in that game, Andy, back in 2002, which was in the top league, by the way, that it was due to a refereeing decision that Stade Olympique disagreed with, so they repeatedly scored own goal after own goal in anger. As the BBC article noted, Adema's players simply stood around looking bemused as their opponents self-destructed.
It's a weird process, isn't it? Just punching yourself in the face repeatedly.
You like this referee?
Yeah. Oh, dear. See what you've done?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Andy, I mean, I just love the names of some of the teams. Dangerous Tigers.
I would love to play for the Dangerous Tigers.
Great.
Well, you can't, Andy. They've been banned for life.
Oh, can they have a Phoenix club? Can Tigers have a Phoenix club?
AFC Dangerous Tigers. Yeah.
Less Dangerous Tigers, maybe. Yeah. Less Dodgy Tigers. I don't know. But there we are, everybody. Nice to...
Nice to end on a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
People say the end of the season's rubbish.
Exactly, yeah. Look at those kind of score lines. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You can't take your eyes off it. What a lot of goals.
Value for money.
People want a lot of goals in games. Do you want that many?
Yeah. I want every Premier League game to be like that.
Well, you're going to have to wait because we're still in international football, baby. Tonight we've got Portugal versus Czech Republic, Switzerland versus Spain, Kosovo versus Northern Ireland. Some tasty ones in there, Andy. Yeah, which one has caught
you won't
be able
to watch. Yeah. So,
I'll be at Portugal, obviously.
Yeah. Well, which game would you watch if you were able to?
The Portugal one.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Andy, Switzerland, Spain?
I'm Luke.
Yeah, glad you are.
The listeners don't know that, though, do they?
I close my eyes. I can just your voices, Luke.
I would happily, and I probably will do this. Mm-hmm. Fight tooth and nail to just get UEFA to let me watch something.
Yeah.
I'd probably watch Portugal, Czech Republic, though, actually.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Mm. Excellent choice. All right, everybody. We've got a little bit of news for you. Later this month, we are releasing two special episodes to mark the Ramble's 15th anniversary. So you might have seen on our Twitter feed and Insta that we want to hear from you, whether you're a long-term listener or only a few weeks in. Tell us your favourite moment from the show and we'll be reliving some of your picks. Yeah. How about that? Should be a hoot, everybody. Yeah. Looking forward to that. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. And Andy, it's been a pleasure.
As always.
Luke Moore, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Good luck with your laptop, Andy.
Everybody, it's been a pleasure.
See you guys.
And we'll see you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Very, very soon. Ta-ta.
The
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.